As we continue our season of Epiphany, we see that we don't always know how to respond to God's word in our midst. Last week we began to see that word showing up. It's all the ways in which God delighted in us. This week we hear that word proclaimed and we realize that we have fallen short in comparison with that word. We realize that we do not understand this word when the word comes to us. And sometimes we think we do understand the word, and that our perfect and complete understanding of the word means that others are falling short because they do not carry the same understanding as we do. We see all these issues on display today for us in our first and second reading. In our reading from Nehemiah, we hear the people gathering to hear the word of the Lord, to hear this law being read to them. They have returned from exile and they are ready to renew the covenant. They know that it was their violation of the law that led to exile and to the breaking of the promises due to their own infidelity. And as they gather, there is an awareness that they will not understand this word without interpretation. And so the one who reads it, Ezra, the priest, who has studied the law, who is a faithful guide, along with the elders, give that interpretation to the people to give the sense so that they can understand the law. And as the people understand the law, they begin to mourn and to weep. They realize that they have not kept this law, and likely they are concerned that they'll be driven back into exile. They know this is what caused the problem in the first place, and they likely hope to hear that now they were doing things the way they were supposed to be done, only to discover that they were still falling short. And so there is mourning, there is weeping among the people. They're convinced they are not good enough to be God's people. They're not good enough to remain in this land or to receive these promises of God. Paul says something similar in our reading today about the body. It says, the foot looks at the hand and says, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. And we see that the foot feels like it is inferior because it is not something other than it already is. And because of this, feels like it does not belong. Even though anyone looking can say, yes, you do. You still are a part of the body. But we struggle with this. Of course, we can look to a number of other members. We can look to our head, which is Christ, and see the perfect way of being and relating and know that is not us. We think if that is the head and that is how this body is supposed to behave, we do not belong here. We have fallen short. Just like the people gathered today in Nehemiah, we see the perfect God and know that we are not perfect. We must not belong to God. We must not be God's people. We must not be a part of the body. And so we lament our shortcomings, our failures, in such a way that we no longer function as we should. If the foot always thinks it should be a hand, the foot is never going to take a step. And that too will become a problem. We see another issue today from Paul. The issue where we hear the interpretation, we understand this word of God to some degree, and we think that our understanding is the only understanding, that the interpretation that we cling to is the only correct interpretation, in which case we demand that everybody else in the body, or who would part of the body, would understand and function as we do in order to belong to the body. And this is the notion where if the eye would say to the hand, because you're not an eye, I do not need you. That doesn't make the hand any less a part of the body. Again, this is very obvious to us on our physical bodies. We would say this is absurd. Of course, the body needs the other members. We need all of these pieces working together. And we wouldn't want to just have one eye. Where would the hearing be? We wouldn't want to just have one ear for the whole body. There'd be no sense of smell or sight or no ability to do what the body was made to do. So we are called then to see that the whole body is necessary. Even as we struggle with responding to the word of God as we should once we understand that word. Or have a better understanding of that word, if we ever truly understand the word of God. So we have Jesus doing today as he goes to his hometown of Nazareth is something a little different than offering us interpretation and trying to increase our understanding. No, what Jesus does as he stands in the synagogue is proclaim the truth that he is fulfilling God's word. That in Christ, the promises of God reach their fulfillment. Jesus is accomplishing that which he is describing by his very presence. The word of God is living and shines forth around us. Of course, even that we will see will prove a challenge to the people next week. But this week we get to just sit this notion of what Jesus tells us, that these words from Isaiah are fulfilled, have come to completion in him. And what are these words? Well, he has come to proclaim good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, release of captives, to let the oppressed go free, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor. In short, Jesus has come to fulfill that which we heard last week, that God still delights in us. God wants to share good news with us. God wants to set us free from ourselves, restore us to God and to one another. To share with us a love and a grace that we could never fully understand, but we can only experience in Christ, who reconciles us to God. Let us continue Paul's analogy here, shall we? Realize that Jesus is the head of the body, and in the head there is the brain. And the brain, of course, receives and sends information to all of the body, allows the body to function together. And members without the brain cannot do a whole lot, as we know. If there is a disconnect between the brain and an arm or a foot or any member of the body, it is as if that body member is dead and it cannot function at all. And so what Christ does is restores this connection, draws these members back into relationship with the brain so that they can function as they should. Of course, we could think, well, we should just then be able to function right away. I think this is similar to any time a body part's starting to wake up. If you ever slept on your arm or your foot just wrong, and you wake up with that tingly sensation, it takes some time before that member can function as it should. It has to get reinvigorated, get enough blood flow, get enough connections made, then it can finally function properly. And so it is, whether we are reconnected with Christ, we need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, help us function properly. And sometimes it takes us a great deal longer to wake up than it should. And sometimes we find ourselves pinched again for a moment or two, disconnected from how we should be and functioning as we should be. And we have to wake up all over again and go through that tingly sensation. Have the Holy Spirit's power at work in us. And yet in this process, we begin to understand who we are. We begin to realize that we are a hand and how a hand is supposed to function. We begin to realize we are a part of the body. This, I think, is what Ezra and Nehemiah are trying to tell the people. Do not cry today. This day is holy to the Lord. God has loved us and drawn near to us, has brought us back from exile, has established us in Jerusalem once more. This is not a day for mourning and weeping. This is not a day to lament how we have fallen short. This is a day to rejoice over what God has done to reestablish us. Go your own way. Have a feast over this. And as we recognize the ways in which we are connected to this body, we recognize how absurd it would be to look around within the body and demand that the rest of the body be just like us. We've already talked about this a little bit, and again, in a body, it's very organic to see this, but we know there are many who would seek to serve Christ our Lord. But we are suspicious of those who do it differently than us. We have a different understanding, different articulation of this word, who have experienced this brain's work in their lives and are receiving different directions than we receive. And yet we are to know, no, they're still a part of the body. I mean, we need them. Indeed, we would go so far as to say, I think, that once we are restored to proper functioning, we would want to help the other members be restored to proper functioning. That if we recognize the foot was asleep, we could use the hand, or rather the brain could use the hand, and in this case Christ, to rub that foot and help wake it up. And once we did that, we would want the foot to function as a foot. Tonight. Try to become a hand just because the hand helped wake it up. Say, no, we want you and need you to be the foot. Please don't try to be a hand if we're going to get anywhere. And so too, must we realize that we must care for people and help them recognize their connection to the body of Christ. And not seek to change them into our way of thinking and understanding, but to help support them as they grow in their own connection to Christ and better understand who they are so that they can function as they should, so that the whole body can work together to bring glory to God, to celebrate and share the love of Christ. And yes, I think this is what Ezra and Nehemiah say to the people as well. When you are feasting, send portions to those who have nothing prepared for them. Care for one another. Recognize you are still one body because of what God has done in restoring you to this place and in restoring you to one another. Similarly, we, through this word of God, hear that we have been restored to God and to one another. That we are a part of this body fully because of what God has done for us in Christ. And this is the fulfillment we receive again in this meal that we share. Here, this word of God takes on flesh and stands among us. Here in this bread and wine, body and blood, we hear the good news that Christ has forgiven us of our sins and draws us back into the body of Christ. Here we hear the good news that we are redeemed and reconciled, and we are invited to trust that this word is fulfilled in Christ. And as we experience this fulfillment, become more aware of who we are as these members of the body of Christ, become more aware of how Christ would use us, of how we are called to function and live as God's people in this place. No more are we to shrink from our activities because we are so certain that we have fallen short. No, in this blood we hear that our sins are forgiven. We are given a fresh start. And no, we are not demand others think and act like us. Instead, we love them as they are and desire them to function as the body members that God has called them to be, knowing that that's exactly what we need, this whole body to work together. Here in this meal, we discover the ways we are fully joined to a body that spans time and space in ways that we do not fully understand, how we are connected to all those who would seek to serve our head, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we encounter this fulfillment, as we encounter this good news, we are strengthened and nourished. We hear God's delight for us, and the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And we are sent out to celebrate and share this love that we have received. We who have this feast of love today are sent to others who have nothing prepared, that we may give portions of the love we have received to our brothers and sisters, that they too may wake up and know the truth that they are connected to this body of Christ. They are to know the ways in which they have been brought back into right relationship with God and with us because of what Christ has done. And for this good news that redeems us and the world, for this word of God that continues to be fulfilled in ways that mean life and salvation for us and for all. For such good news as this, we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.